What's up, everyone? Oh boy, I didn't full screen that. Let me full screen that. Yep, we're good at this. Welcome to the Backlighters Podcast, Aggro and Barracuda, as per usual. Little late to start because we are waiting on a Phase 2 playoff champion in Aurore. No, Barra, did no one tell you?
Wrong script, sorry.
Okay, yeah, wrong script. Yeah, we gotta throw that out. Look, Aurore will be here. He's just running a little late, so I think that he should be able to just join in on this call, and then I'll do a quick little overlay swap. And if that doesn't work that way, then I guess we'll take a quick break and kind of do it that way. But didn't want to keep the fans waiting, you know? Mm-hmm. That's
especially
what was most
important.
Especially
on a weekend like this.
Especially on a weekend like this. A good weekend for Smite, Barry.
Yep. Very good weekend.
Some very, very good games. Let's start, I suppose, at the very beginning. As that does make some sense. Quarterfinal matchups, it was the Leviathans versus the Warriors. Mm-hmm. The only not as good set of the week, I would say. I don't know.
I mean, we talked about it last weekend.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you were fighting. You know, you thought Warriors could maybe win a few games. And I was like, nope, it's not going to
Did happen. I say that? Wow, I was trolling.
Yeah, well, you wanted me to do... you said, if Warriors win, I have to do an ad read.
That's right, that's what it was,
Thankfully,
yes.
They did not win.
An ad read for what, Bear?
An ad read for any one of our multiple sponsors that we have now. Actually.
That's right, our multiple sponsors. But in particular, we're talking about... Manscaped. Barra, have you thought of summer? Have you thought this summer of Euro football was fun? Well, footy is back, and our friends at Manscaped are here with a master class to get you ready for this new season. The leaders in men's grooming have done it again, those sons of bitches, and just launched their fourth generation performance package. Included is their new Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. The 4.0 will have even Paris Saint-Germain, jealous of your well-groomed package. I don't understand that reference. I'm American. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with their new Performance Package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com/back for 20% off plus free shipping. Remember, you can get 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/back. That's 20% off plus free shipping. I don't know why I ordered it this way. I read all three of those back to back, but here we go. plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/back. Kick some overgrown pubes, hairs, and grass. Asses in parentheses. This season with Manscaped. Thanks to Manscaped, as always, for being
well done, Agro.
One of the title sponsors. Well, thank you. I saw my opportunity and I took it. Look, yeah, the Warriors...
Also, I don't know if you saw, but the special guest is here.
Is he here? Okay.
Yeah.
Then let's take a quick break. Okay. We'll be right back in order to get our special guest in. We'll be right back here on the Backliner, sponsored by Manscaped. And we're back. And the cams are in the wrong order. My God, dude, I can't get this right recently, man. I have just been trolling.
You're doing the best ad reads I've ever heard.
Okay.
We don't need production here.
That's true.
People are here for the podcast. They're not here to see who we are. They already know who we are.
That's right. You know? They know who we are, and they should know who Aurore is, because my man's just kind of went off at the Phase 2 playoffs. Aurore, congratulations on winning the playoff event. I guess we were about to start talking about all the sets, but I just want to talk to you about how you guys are feeling. And I feel like for you, even though you've been on some really good teams over the last few years, it's been a little bit since you've won like a mid-season LAN like this.
No, I don't think I've ever won a mid-season LAN. That's probably my first one.
Yeah, I wanted to say that, but I didn't want you to be like, actually, in season four, and then I would look really mean and stupid.
I won
so
Super
I didn't
Regionals.
That. Right.
I don't think I've ever won a mid-season LAN. I won like that one event, that Energy Invitational or whatever, but that's like not even a real one.
True, yeah. True. How does it feel to win a mid-season event then?
It feels good.
All right, fair enough. You're not going to do that thing. Aurore, that interview, can we talk about that?
I was just thinking about
what
that.
What interview?
The interview where you only answered in yes or no questions.
What's wrong with that?
What do you mean what's wrong with that? What do you mean? What's wrong with that?
Either people hated it or people loved it. And yeah. people didn't know if I was trolling or not either, which is, how do you not know that I'm trolling there?
Well, of course you're trolling there. But people might not know that you're trolling most of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like that interview.
But they should.
They should.
Dude, you didn't like it?
Me? No, of course I didn't like it.
Why, though? That's such a special interview.
Because, who was doing the interview with you? Do you remember?
Share. I think it was Gore.
I think it was Gore, too. Because Gore, because poor Gore, I feel bad for him in that situation, you know? Because production's like, keep going. We're not, because, so here's a little behind this. Here's me pulling the curtain back, okay?
Okay.
Sometimes during these interviews, production needs time to like set up the next segment, and so we're using that to buy time. And then if so, when you're only saying yes and no, and they don't have time to set their next thing up, then they're like, "You just got us. We got to stay on this shot until we're ready to like take the video or whatever." Dude, and then he's hosed.
Let me say one thing too about that really quick. Sure. That's super funny. But how do people not know that I was trolling when I started laughing in the middle of the interview? I could, dude, I tried my hardest to not laugh, and Paul is crying in tears laughing, and I just see him over there laughing so hard, I couldn't help myself. I started laughing, and I'm like, okay.
That's pretty good. I like the bit, honestly.
I failed, though. That's what made it so special to me, at least. I literally couldn't hold my composure and keep it all the way through. I broke.
Yeah.
You did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think you held it for the most part, but
yeah.
I don't think of you laughing during it. I just think of poor Gormeiser and him getting trolled by production.
That's the best part, though. I got to bring Gore into the best interview of his life.
in some ways. Just
like, what questions am I supposed to ask now?
Yeah.
I'm all out of questions and I need 3 more minutes.
Exactly. Like, we need time. They're like, we need 45 more seconds. And Gore is like, I guess I'm talking for 45 seconds because...
The JMAC interview was too funny the other day, too. He's just like, yeah, nice answers. I was like, thanks. I started laughing.
Listen, Aurora, always a pleasure to have you on, as long as you're actually answering and not saying yes and no, which I suppose does count as answers. But
that would be good content.
Yeah, that would. Well, no, Barra, no. Yes. No, it wouldn't be good content, right?
It would be awful content, Aurora. Right. You better not do that on our podcast.
What are you going to do? Whoa, you're threatening Aurora? What are you going to do to him if he does that?
Lose again?
Well, that's what he wants.
Okay, then I'll do that.
Yeah, what the heck, Barry? You're just hurting me, man. You're just hurting
me. Sorry. Anyways, right. on to the playoffs.
Yeah, on to playoffs then. I guess we can go kind of set by set. We just talked about Leviathans and Warriors. Not much to talk about there. Then the other set in the lower side was you guys, Aurora, up against the Jade Dragons. I'm glad you're here for it because I wanted to get your perspective on that set. Game one, the Dragons came out and like kind of stomped. And then game two, you guys were down by a lot and then came back. What do you remember from that set in general?
Wait, from what? Sorry, I spaced out.
No, you're good. The Dragon set.
The Dragon set?
Yeah.
I was laughing. What?
Talk okay. for like 10 seconds. You're like, sorry, Doc. I spaced out. You talked for too long. It's been a long day. It's okay. It's okay.
That set, though, like, I feel like they're probably the hardest team for us out of the teams we played just because of. We had to, like, adjust to how they played the most, like, out of all the teams. Like, because against the Kings and the Leviathans, we kind of just played, like, smite how we, like, what we wanted to do. But against the Dragons, like, when you play them, if you don't come into, like, the game and having, like, a really solid early game, they're probably just going to run you over and you're going to lose, like, the first game. And then almost the second game as well. But yep. I just feel like our comp was really good in the second game, so we were able to squeak it out. And then games 3 and 4, we just picked, like, really good early game. And then we also had, like, pretty good late game, and we just felt really confident that we'd win those games.
Yeah, do you think you guys would have won that series? Do you think you would have reverse swept them if you had lost that second game?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I would say yeah, but like who knows though?
Right.
Cuz like being down 2-0 is definitely like hard to come back from, but it's definitely doable. We've seen it happen a lot in Smite actually, especially the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But I think I think we would have at least had we would have at least won a game, maybe two, and then it would have been game five, and anything can happen in game five, I think. So
yeah, Barra, what do you remember from watching that set? I don't know how much you pay attention to it because you were on the other end of the bracket.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch that much because I was screaming during the Warriors Leviathan set, and then I had to leave a little bit early to go drive down to where the wedding was. So I didn't get to see. I saw the Hurry Krakens, and
oh yeah, those were rough.
That was the funniest part of the day for me. But I didn't get to actually see that much of that set, unfortunately.
Yeah. Fair enough. Poseidon just cursed in like big games, right? No one picked Poseidon in those moments.
I assume they just wanted it for like a pressure pick, maybe, because it's like a half mid lane pressure meta or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so weird to see that pick come out, in my opinion, because I haven't even seen it in scrims, I don't think, all year. So it just came out of nowhere.
I don't think that god is that bad. I mean, his level 2 is, like, really good among mages, and if that matters, which it does right now, then he's probably pretty good. Doom Orb is, like, buyable, and that's good for him. And you had a lot of movement abilities that Cripple could have hurt, but didn't end up doing too badly against, I suppose.
I think the reason they picked Poseidon is because we had Hell, and I think they wanted to just kill somebody really fast before Hell could heal, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but once you fall behind on Poseidon, that little beads bait that you did on him in mid lane, like that, his game's pretty much over after that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a classic right there.
Yeah, that's the classic. Was it you, Aurora, or was it someone like tried to do that, and maybe it was Rongyu, like spent the whole time up in their ultimate, didn't bite anyone, and then just ran away afterwards without like
he did that to me yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was a gear set.
Are you talking about dueling?
No, it was like in maybe it was in dueling.
I don't think it was me. Maybe it was me. I actually don't know. I don't think it was me though.
And I was like, look, I respect the attempt to bait the beads, but then he never bit anyone.
Yeah.
And I was like, you gotta at least bite someone sometime. Like,
I thought his ult bug, because he just ran next to me for a while, and I'm like, I'm not gonna beads until you bite me.
Right.
And then he just like, I was basically walking my dog down the lane a little bit, and he just turned around and ran away, and I was like, oh, okay. He's just not gonna bite me, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was really funny. I was like, what is going on? You gotta make him, oh yeah, because it had to have been that game, because I casted it, so.
Yeah.
I was like, you gotta make him beat at some point, but fair enough. All right, then let's move on to your set, Barra, up against the Leviathans. It's kind of the exact, it's funny because it's the exact opposite of what happened in phase one, where they won game one in phase one and then you won three in a row. Kind of the opposite happened here. What do you think about that set today?
You did so much damage, by the way, Barra.
Dude, I don't know how you did so much. Yeah. Did you actually feel like you were doing that much damage? Because I didn't feel like you were.
I felt like I was farming that entire game, but
you were.
Our team comp couldn't actually get like the finishing hit on kills.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do so much damage and then just watch people like barely live out of a team fight because like our team comp, for whatever reason, couldn't kill, like, we couldn't kill tanks, we couldn't kill backline, so it's like, what are we supposed to do at that point?
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm just a Hachi, I'm just gonna shoot their front line, and hopefully I can kill them. And then I had to, like, transition my build into, like, the Dominance build. I built, like, Dominance Titan's Bane, because I was like, okay, tickling them slowly, but doing, like, good overall high DPS isn't working, so I need to go, like, more one-shot potential.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
And that started to like turn the team fights a lot, and that's when we started winning a lot of the team fights. And then, you know, the 3v5 happened, the big Raijin ult, and then Shinto slashed all of our tires, and we had momentum.
That's another classic, the Corridor against Raijin.
Yep.
Yeah, I even Aegis, and I was like, oh, this will still be fine. And then he Taiko drums me one more time in my Aegis, I think, and then he just destroyed our entire team. And I was like, oh...
Yeah, I was looking at that fight, and I was like, why are the Leviathans still here? And anytime I think that, I immediately, like, look at relics for the other team to see if, like, if they feel like, okay, if no one has beads and we've got Athena or something like that, like, we're going to be able to punish. Or if someone has an ult, and I was like, oh, Shinto still has ult. And then you guys, like, kind of dogpiled him, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, because it was right after we killed the RDO. I ulted around the corner to continue the team fight, because I thought it was going to be really good. And then we just got drilled. I did not think that team fight was going to go that bad. And I think our comps and our drafts were kind of bad. I think every game we were just running into, like, walls, basically, where we could just not kill people. Like, we were drafting dive comps. We couldn't kill their backline with them. We were drafting, like, frontline kill comps. We'd get too far behind early game, and their frontline would just become unkillable. I think it was a big mix of draft and play. I think the further phase two went on... I don't want to say we were, like, lost in the meta, but it definitely felt like we weren't as comfortable as we were in the beginning stages of the Phase 2 meta. And scrims definitely showed that. I think as the weeks went on, our scrims just got worse and worse. We were trying to work on a lot of things, but things just weren't coming together with our drafts, I want to say. But we just didn't feel, like, comfortable. Like, I don't know, just felt, like, lost a bit. And I think it really showed in the Leviathan set that they just continually outdrafted us and outplayed us.
Yeah, and then RDO, that one RDO play from Yarkor, well, which one? I feel like he just, like, was going...
Yeah, I was about to say, which one?
He's just bear-chopping you guys.
Dude, he really was. RDO healing is kind of good, huh?
Yeah. RDO's fun.
Yeah.
RDO is fun.
So fun.
Soul leaders are, like... Like, Yarkor tweeted before playoffs, like, ZZZ had to play RDO, did I even win? And I was like... I feel like RDO is super fun. I don't know. I like playing that god.
I think she feels kind of brain dead to play.
Well, yeah, it's like an auto pressure god, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. That's...
Like, I feel like you can't make, like, cool plays on RDO. I mean, you can get, like, big AoEs, but I feel like the player ceiling is kind of boring for solo laners. Like, they can't do anything, like, fancy or just face rolling your keyboard.
Yeah,
bear chopping's fun, though.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Aurora, I'm kind of surprised.
Good counter-argument, guys.
I say, Aurora, you used to be a big RDO support player, and I saw by your tweet that you tried it in scrims, but it didn't it didn't go so well.
I tried it, yeah. It was... We still won that game. I don't know how we won. That's probably my worst stat line I've ever had in a scrim.
For anyone who didn't see it, it was, what, 1 in 15?
Yeah, 115 and like I had 3 assists. Like I've had more deaths than 15 deaths, but I've had like a lot of assists, but I only had 3 assists.
How did you win that game?
I don't remember.
He made so much room. He died right. First in every team fight. He got off sure. all of his buttons, you know.
Right, right.
I don't want to say who it was against or whatever, just because I didn't ask for permission or any of the picks. But all I remember from that game that I could say is I spawned and I dashed out of base the same way like 8 times in a row, went into their jungle and started bear chopping, and then I'd fight until I was dead. Every time that I'd spawn, I'm like, I'm going back, and I dash out of base and I just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
And that's how you win phase 2 playoffs right there, is by dashing and bear chomping in their jungle.
The funniest scrim, though, I have to say, was when I joined Trifecta, when they finally picked me up the first game. I don't remember who it was against. I played Kumba, and the RDO scrim beats it now, but the Kumba scrim was the more famous one, where I went 3-19 and 16. And that was a game, and I thought I'd never beat that game, but 115-3 definitely tops it by a mile.
Yeah, 16 assists. You were contributing, you know?
Yeah.
You were making space in team fights at the very least. You have to die so early in a team fight to not get a single assist, you know? Like, you guys must have been playing hell or something like that to just, like, sustain through. That's the only thing I can think of, but obviously you don't have to say. All right, so, yeah, that brings us to the other semifinal, which I really didn't get a chance to watch very much of, so Aurora.
Neither.
All right, so Aurora, it's just you, baby. Talk to us about the King set. What happened?
Game
don't
one.
Don't miss any details, by the way, because.
Yeah, from beginning to end.
Okay, game one, I don't know what it was, but they basically just gave us a free duel lane. Like, we killed them for first blood. I went like this with my root, and then I went like this, and he died, at like level 2.
Yeah, okay.
And
I love that.
Cyclone trapped him, and then he died. Nice. And then he ganked us. We died, and then he ganked us again, and we killed him. Like and then he missed his ult when he ganked us again after that.
Who was Twin
and
playing?
And then we killed him, Gilgamesh.
Okay.
And then
missed a Gilgamesh ult?
Yeah, I don't know if he missed it. He ulted me instead of Cyclone, but then he went on Cyclone, and then they're like, never mind, and they start hitting me, and I'm a Kepri. And then I just ult myself, and then they kill everybody. I'm like, nice. Or I don't know if that was game 1 or 2, honestly. But yeah, and then we just grouped up, got objectives, and then just kind of, we got to do whatever we wanted, like, in the first 2 games. And then game 3, like, game 1 and 2 were both 20-minute games, 24-minute games. Mm-hmm. Game 2, though, they had a pretty good draft, because they were the ones with the Kepri, and they had, like, Hera with it, but we were Fafnir, and we just did every objective. They're just late to every objective. We got golds, we got pyros, we literally got whatever we wanted. They didn't fight us at all, and we didn't fight them either, so it was just like, okay, gold's up, we're going to gold, Fafnir it, boom, boom, it's dead. And they're like, okay, nice, you guys got that. And then we're like, thanks. And then we run away, and then we go to pyro, get that, and then we go back to gold. And then I think the next gold, yeah, what happened was the next gold fury that they did, they tried to, like, all in us after we burned it already. And we were Artemis again that game, and they just died to Artemis. Like, Jingten jumped in, ulted, Cyclone ulted his ult. And then the pig shot at somebody else, stunned him. And then the pig came back. He was doing Jingten's knockup animation. And the pig came up and stunned him in the knockup animation. And then he kind of got one shot. And then we're like, okay, let's do fire. So we did fire. And then they just... After that, we just had fire, and they were, like, really far behind that at that point. We just swept the towers and then ended the game off that.
Aurora, can you do this every week for, like, every SPL game? Can we just have you come into the studio, and we'll just sit you in front of a green screen, and we'll, like, we'll have animate, like, we'll have a pig come out and, like, shoot at someone with a real gun, and, like, we can make good content out of this, Aurora. That's all I'm saying. If you're free on Mondays, let me know, because that would be good stuff. My favorite part of all of that was when you go, all right, we Fafnir it, and boom, boom, it's gone, and they go, hey, nice job on that gold, and we say thanks, and then we go, like...
That is weird. I was gonna bring up that is weird that kings of all teams aren't respecting you guys' objectives because that's kind of their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they are the objective boys, and for them to not respect you guys is really weird.
And then game three, they kind of the ones who destroyed us that game. We thought our draft was pretty good. We just got behind in solo that game because they were the ones with the RDO into Herc, and that's not fun for Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
So that just kind of bled over the entire map. Like Benji got behind, and then they were able to use that advantage to help mid. And then, you know, when mid gets ahead, they could help duo. It's just chain reaction. And then the other thing with that game is we took a lot of bad fights. Like, I think our comp, if we were able to go late, like we had a good enough comp to win that game. But there was a fight where they went on Cyclone and Wright, and they killed him. And then I tried to pluck Twig, and I was, like, completely alone. I looked like I was, like, an idiot, basically. I pluck him, die, I got his beads. And then, like, if I just live there, like, it delays the game maybe long enough for us to get, like, enough items online to actually fight them. But they were just... If you go back and you watch the last team fight in the game, we get them all to 1 HP, and we're down 17k gold. So if we weren't... like super far behind, we could have maybe came back and won that game, but we just capitalized on our mistakes really well, I feel like, and they just kind of steamrolled us from there. And then game four was like back and forth. I was Fenrir again that game, and we were just we were just able to pick off their tanks or get their tanks low enough to where we could do objectives. And we just kind of won off that in the last game.
What was Paul playing that game?
I think he was Morgan Le Fay. I actually don't remember. Trying to think.
Yeah, something. You said you poked out their tanks, so I was wondering. You know,
I was Fenrir ulting their tanks and bringing them back. Cyclone was Izanami in that game.
Oh, okay.
Paul was T-Mat, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good at poking.
How is the chat not knowing what god he was? Help us out here.
Yeah, chat, come on. You guys watched the game. We didn't. Do your jobs, chat. Come on now. What was I going to say? Did you guys ban... I saw one screenshot of your picks and bans, I think. Did you guys ban Rom every game against the Kings?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I figured. That's what I would have... Like, I was talking with... I think I was talking with Nika that day because he was on the set beforehand. And I was like, I'm pretty sure the Titans should just ban Rom every game and make Netruid play something else because he's looked... really, really good on that pick, and either looked very good on like Izanami only, and we haven't seen him on literally anything else. What do you say?
He had a couple good honor games too. I was surprised he didn't whip it out.
Yeah, it was definitely something that I expected to be focused. So I think that, I mean, I didn't watch it, but you know, clearly it ended up working out pretty well. Apparently, no one in chat did it. Okay, it was Tiamat. Thank you, Maxim and Super Cyrus. Thank you. All right, that brings us to today. A very, very fun set to watch. Let's go from the beginning then, Aurora. What were you guys thinking coming in to the set, and how do you think? I mean, obviously you guys won game one, but now I'm forgetting how game one went. Game one, you guys picked. Well, you guys were kind of Kepri owning all day with Tiamat. Kepri, like, really surprised me this whole weekend at how good he is.
Yeah, me too.
Are you trolling me, or did...
No, I'm not, actually. I started playing him, like, this week, and I was like, nice, this guy's good.
I feel like no one... Well, the way that they wanted to play was, like, Serket support and Fenrir support, and that's usually pretty good at killing one dude, and obviously Kepri very good against kill one dude comps.
Yeah, their first comp, I saw it. I'm like, that's Zap Sushi right there, sure, for us. You know how Shaq... Okay, wait, this is a perfect opportunity.
Uh-huh.
The Zap Sushi emote, instead of... You know how... Do you guys watch basketball? Aggro does.
Yeah, I do.
Sure.
Nope.
You know how Shaq always says barbecue chicken?
Yeah, like barbecue chicken.
Like an easy play?
Yeah.
That's Zap Sushi is the equivalent to barbecue chicken.
Okay. I'll start using that.
That's literally Zap Sushi. Like, as soon as I saw the Serket, I was like, that's Zap Sushi for me right there. Like, I'm literally a Kepri. I can go Sav first in the lane, and, like, they're four fizz. I'm like, man, this is just Zap Sushi.
Yeah, but, like, that was a tough... Go ahead.
I always try to explain it like in text, and it just never comes out right. But this is a perfect like time to say that barbecue chicken equals zap sushi.
Yeah,
same thing.
I like it, and I will be working with that for sure. I will be using that.
Go ahead, Baron. Game one was the layers gank and solo side. I think once Kukulin gets behind that matchup against Odin, it's just over. And then with Aurora rushing Sov, their dual lane play, like their dual lane Smork is over. And then Zap got soloed at like level 7, I think. I mean, York got soloed, but he was already like basically out of the game by then anyways.
Yep.
I think Leviathan's just drafted a comp they can't get behind with and then got steamrolled in the early game.
Yeah, that early game was really rough.
Yeah.
For the Leviathans for sure. And like you said, like Kepri, I feel like Kepri is, when you fall behind, like Kepri is the last god you want to be playing against, because it's like, yep, all right, we have to wait for someone on their team to troll and then we'll kill them, get a shutdown, and then like win the game from there. And then Kepri's like, yeah, even if someone trolls, it doesn't really matter very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then game two, they had a pretty similar comp, but they switched up their solo laner that game. I can't remember what Yark played. My brain doesn't work anymore.
Cerberus.
Cerberus, that's right. Okay, so a little bit more magical heavy that time. Is that the game that you went second item Bulwark, Aurora? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were pretty magical heavy that game. What do you remember from that one?
I'm trying to think. Someone else go first while I think about this.
Second item Saw, by the way, and they swapped the Hachi as well from the Jing, which I kind of like. I think, wait, was this the game that they did the red play at level 1?
Oh, yeah, what? Yeah, that was that game, yeah.
Yeah, who called that, by the way? I watched that today and I was like, holy balls, that was such a good call.
Cyclone called it mainly, but we all saw it and we're like, we're going there. And, oh my god, that was so troll, because I hate when those plays happen. I didn't want to take the kill there, if you saw. Yeah, I could have
just
got the kill right away. I didn't know Paul was going to beads. We just miscommunicated there, like, really badly, like, because if he beads there, mm-hmm, I should let him have the kill for sure. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know if he had beads or if he was going to beads or whatever. No one said anything. And I just kind of was like, okay, I'm killing him because you guys are stunned.
Yeah.
But then he beads right as I killed him. Like, oh my god. Because I hate taking kills, especially if I'm Kepri. Like, what am I going to do with a kill? I don't need it. But
right,
I thought he was going to get away. And especially first blood, too.
I thought it was really good for you to actually get that kill, because you got thieved so early. Like, yeah, you have thieves so much earlier than Ronnie, and then once you're not a target anymore, it's like, who can they actually kill on your team?
Yeah, true. I just felt like that game, though, I didn't really need to. I was going to be safe, because mm-hmm, he was Fenrir that game, or no?
Yeah, he was Fenrir that game.
Yeah, I had beads, so I felt like they couldn't really kill me even if they wanted to that game, so mm-hmm, I kind of wish somebody else got the kill there.
Yeah.
God, you're so nice. Listen to this guy.
Yeah, has Jake ever once in his life been like, no, damn, I wish I didn't get that kill?
It depends on what god I'm on. Like, if I'm in a different god, then yeah, I want the kill, but not on Kepri. What am I going to do, pincer chop somebody?
Yeah, you're going to chop them up, bro. You're gonna root them, and then you're going to go like this, you know? Just like we were talking about earlier. Yeah, that game also, I feel like that was another Osiris game that did not go particularly well. Osiris kind of pooped the bed all weekend, huh? He didn't win a lot of games.
When I was watching the game today, I said once that play happens at red, that's like his whole game gone. Like, if he doesn't get that early pressure rolling, I think if he's just like put in the spot where he's just a farming jungler, not actually a pressure jungler, he doesn't really do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not successful. But it wasn't just Panatom either. It was like a lot of junglers that were picking Osiris and not working it very well. You know, Fred had some games on it for the Warriors, and mm-hmm, we understand their situation and all that kind of stuff. So maybe that makes the win rate look a little worse than it should have been. But I don't know. Erlong certainly looked a lot better. That was the kind of surprise pick. Maybe not surprise, but it turns out, guys, whenever you have 3 CCs, and you can do them in an order where it doesn't like DR it. That's pretty good. Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't actually.
I don't know. There's something with that god. People just think he's bad or something. I remember I played him as support at that one land.
Yep.
And everybody thought the character was bad. And I'm like, how do people think this god is bad?
That was when he had a root cripple on his two.
Yeah.
Dude, that was like another Zabsushi moment when I was throwing my thing out. And Best would just one-shot them off my stupid...
Yeah, them time. Being Bera's mid laner, Zeno, right?
Oh, Bera, the best part about that set was that we didn't do the combo properly at all the first game. Like, I messed it up, like, so many times. I was just missing my root. And then the very last play of the game, I root you and Zeno at the Phoenix, and you guys both get one Ra ulted without using your relics, because no one's played against a CC like that before.
Yeah.
So you're not going to react to it, because it's just so new. You guys both get hit, and he's like, Best is the best Ra ever! He hit him with his one and his snipe! Just, oh, nothing! But no, it's just they got pinned, but like... Mm. It was just such a broken combo that just got overlooked, I feel like, by a lot of people. Like, any mage with that was so strong back then. I can't believe it used to cripple. That was crazy.
That combo was so stupid, bro.
And that, to be able to one and raw all off of it, like, that has to be a long CC, too. Wasn't it, like, 1.8 seconds or something like that?
I think it was 1.8. Yeah, probably. I don't remember exactly. I don't want to say because I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. That's the thing about casting Aurora is that I actually don't know.
Yeah, 1.4. I was actually going to say 1.4. If that guy in chat's right, that's what it was. Because I was going to say
I think 1.4. It's 1.4 now. I think it was 1.8 is my guess. But maybe not.
Yeah, you might be right. That's why I didn't want to say it, because I actually don't know.
No, that's the thing about casting. You just say it with confidence, and then if someone says it afterwards, you just block them on Twitter. And you never have to see from them ever again. You know, that's the move. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. Don't correct me, by the way, on things I say while I'm casting. Mm-hmm. All right, then game three, you guys, that's the one game you guys lose. I thought the adjustment from the Leviathans was pretty good. They went from single target to, like, AoE teamfight comp with stuff like Terra, and I think maybe they had Gilgamesh that game?
They had Ardeo.
Ardeo, well, yeah.
Yeah. They had a lot of healing that game. Like, that game was... I don't know. We could have done a lot better that game, but we didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sometimes it'd be like that. I think that game you guys lost fire, right? Or got stolen? By the RDO 3 or something?
Oh, by the Merlin one. It
was RDO 3, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I have the worst luck at fire, I swear to God. Trix Tank stole a fire giant from me. When EFG first came out with a Jormungandr ult, and I was like, okay. Like,
I remember that.
He was full tank and then one Jormungandr ult. And then the game right after that, he steals it with Kepri.
Yep, I remember that too.
Yeah. And then today I lost it to an RDO 3. I've lost Gold Fury to AMC, stupid dot, as well. in an SPL game, I just don't. If you just throw a dot out there, some dumb ability, it's gonna steal it against me. So
there you go. Write that down. Write that down, Baron. Write that down.
Oh, it's already in the book. Right
oh, okay,
now.
good.
I've had it in there. Don't worry.
Yeah, that was crazy. Chat is confirming it was an RDO 3. 34 damage from the three.
Yeah,
that's.
Yeah, he just went like this. He's like. Thank you very much.
Yep, that was good. I Shinto definitely had some like pretty big Merlin combos that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then game four, you guys decided to just ban like all the healer guardians. You banned Yumoja, Ardeo, Terra. And I think that the I don't know. Lack of flexibility is too strong a word, I think. But I think the Leviathans didn't adjust as much as they could because I liked their Kepri ban. If they're going to go to like the Fenrir stuff again, banning Kepri makes sense. But I think I would have preferred that they just play more teamfight centric again. But I don't know. Maybe you can't without Ardeo Terra. Like...
Their comp was pretty good team fighting, though, but yeah, it was not as good as game three, that's
right.
I just feel like their front line was just dying before your front line was, and I feel like that happened, like, a lot of your sets, the team fights that I was watching, whereas, like, your back line was basically untouched and free casting, and
You guys were just able to pick off their front line in, like, every game pretty easily, it was looking like.
Yeah. No, for sure. I feel like Layers had some really good flanks, like, just in the finals, too. Like,
bro, that game, too, that reminds me. I have never been so... Like, this was one of the things that's triggered me the most my whole casting career. You guys win a Gold Fury fight when your backline was down a full item each. Shinto had four items. Zap had four items. Both Paul and Cyclone had three items. And no components for item four. They were down a full item. And you 4-for-1'd them that fight. Or like 4-for-0'd them. And I gotta go back and watch it. I have no idea how that happens. I mean, Layers had a really good flank on Zap. Yeah. He one-shot Zap.
Oh, yeah.
Dark Horse took a lot of poke as well, like at the beginning of that too, which was good for us.
Yeah. But like... It was so crazy. Cyclone's in chat saying it's because like, he had Chin instead of Bad Rage. Even with that, though, he still had another item. Like, how do they lose a fight with an extra item on both of their backliners? Like, that is such a massive DPS difference. I couldn't believe... I thought you guys were, like, trolling by pulling that Gold Fury. I was like, dude, the Leviathans... If I were Shinto, I'd be like... Bro, this is the best fight of all time for us. Like, no way I don't just kill everyone. And they got completely owned.
Layers, like, yeah, the best part about that was Layers is like, I don't think they see me. And then he just jumps on Zap and kills him. It was pretty funny. He's like, I don't think they see me.
Yeah, they didn't. He one-shot Zap, which was pretty crazy from where he was in his build. But Zap also, like, horsed instead of Aegising. Horsed away from his team instead of towards them.
Watching this, like, from Zap's perspective, it's really hard to respect that when you're feeling, like, as confidently as they were. I'm watching right now, he beats the kick and then just loses, like, the 1v1, or, like, basically 1v3, because they're just, like, diving into their whole team with a Kepri built on him. Like, that's actually insane that Layers is able to make that play. Like, that's, really, like, a game-winning play, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, it totally is, because... That is like a 99% favored fight for the Leviathans, but Layers kind of popped off there for sure. Layers just had a very good, I was going to kind of talk about this at the end whenever we're recapping, but we're pretty close. Feel like Layers was obviously really, really good for you guys all weekend, but it's not like he was, you know, 15-0 every game. It's not like he was hard carrying. I think the whole, from the outside looking in, Aurora, like the whole team just looked like you guys were playing with actual confidence for the first time in a while. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that. But he just did a bunch of small things that made the game easier for everybody else, which goes unnoticed, I feel like, to just watching the games. Like, I don't want to get too much into it, but just basically him just having jungle instincts, like, it helps a lot, like, for everybody. Yeah. Like, I don't want to get into it, but sure. That's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to highlight, like, switching roles is dummy hard at this level. Like, you will just get abused for really small things all the time. And I think that players like Twig and Big Man Tings and Panda Cat, who have, like, Cyclone is a great one. Like, players who have role swapped and looked very good, even with needing time, deserve more respect for those role swaps, for sure. Also, to be fair, not many have swapped into jungle.
That's the hardest role to
get into.
Right.
By a mile. It's not even close.
Yep. Oh, yeah, Yarkor, another good one. Yarkor, another good one who swapped and played well, like, pretty much instantly. All right, and then game four. Dude, that game... Dave said it like a million times on cast, but the fact that you guys only got one kill off of Benji's like two-man Herc pickup into triple push, and it's not like you guys even messed it up, you know? It's just like how the cookie crumbled there, but you guys should have instantly won the game off that. That was such a sick play. Like, if there was any justice, that would have been a triple kill for like Paul, and the game would have been over.
I think the fact that Shinto was Merlin really like, what was kind of what stopped it too. He was able to put like Merlin Kabrakan is like another classic combo. I feel like you cage and then you throw all your Merlin stuff in there and pretty rough.
Yeah.
But, what's it called? Benji also used his boulder prior to that. If he had his boulder, we would have maybe got more kills. And somebody said a jab at Scary. It wasn't a jab at Scary at all.
No, in what way could that be interpreted that way?
No.
And
the question that Aggro asked was that, like, what, like, is that all there was to, it's basically, I feel like Layers did a lot for us that really just goes unnoticed, I feel like, that, to the average eye, at least.
No, I think the only interpretation that I can see coming out of that is that all of us have a lot of respect for Scary as a player and don't think less of him because he struggled in a very hard, in like the hardest role swap to make. That's all we were talking about, is how hard it is to role swap.
Because you can't argue that he's one of the best soul laners to ever play, like, ever.
Yeah, of course.
He literally won worlds back to back. He's actually a beast. Like,
yeah, of course.
I don't know.
Nah, that guy sucks, dude. Period. What a bad player. Golly.
No, this is the Ronnie fan club right here. At least I'm willing to be president of the Ronnie fan club. I love him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is amazing.
But and hope that he's able to find a solo lane spot because he's sick. Super good player for sure. Nothing but respect for him. Dude, you know what's so troll is the end of the game. I don't know if you guys noticed what was happening and why Shinto was standing where he was on that Phoenix Siege, but he was standing on the Tiamat portal in order to get rid of the little minions. And he looked like, dude, I was so scared that he was like DC'd and that the game was over because of it.
I went to eat with Clumsy, and Clumsy's like, did you see what happened? And I was like, no. He's like, he was trying to break the portal when he died. And I was like, no way. I want to go. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
I want to go back and watch it. I didn't even know that's what happened.
He's literally standing there like Merlin posing. And I like, he's so still that I thought he was like DC'd. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to lose because he's DC'd and they like couldn't pause. No, he was just standing on Tiamat portal. Trying to break those minions. The best play Paul made all tournament was just baiting Shinto in to stand on his portal right there outside the Phoenix. That was a genius play from Paul.
Okay, that actually looks so troll.
Doesn't it?
Watching it, yeah, that looks so troll.
But can you link it in here, the timestamp? I want to see it because I didn't see it.
You can go ahead and toss it in the prediction chat as well if you don't mind. Yep. You know, get everyone paid for coming to watch live.
That looks actually so troll, bro.
No way, he actually saw that.
Dude, I'm so mad that the game ended fast enough that I couldn't, in the way, like, I was going to bring it up in, like, the post game before the throw. I was going to bring it up, and I just didn't get a chance to, and I was really upset. And that's just casting sometimes. There's, like, a million things I want to talk about that I don't get a chance to.
Yep.
But I was very sad that I couldn't bring that up, because it was so troll.
That's God, crazy. That looks so sad. From like a top-down perspective with all the information, you're just like, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, the watch out, watch out, watch out, coming from the side, like, ugh, brutal.
When their whole team goes to red buff and you walk up to like clear a wave or do anything and then, ugh.
Surprise! Oh, Hercules! Yeah. Hercules behind you!
I've done that a lot.
Hey, listen, it happens. It happens to the best of us. All right, before we talk about one last thing and then wrap up the show, we have a new sponsor. Aurora, did you know we have a new sponsor?
Oh my God, you do?
We do. Bera, did you know that we have a new sponsor?
No, I had no idea.
Did you know that we're basically sponsored by Ryan Reynolds now? This is true, by the way. Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds, the actor and general handsome man, is a fan of the podcast. And I know that
podcast, actually,
because he's the main owner of Mint Mobile, who was our brand new sponsor for the podcast. So ipso facto, shout out Ryan Reynolds, because he loves us and we love him.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. Here's the deal with Mint Mobile. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one, Bera. There isn't a catch.
Oh.
Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're really the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that just get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings directly to you. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. And here are some key notes. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on your nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Barracuda's going to come to your house and beat up your pet? Oh, no, sorry. I read that wrong. Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Sorry, that's on me. That was my fault. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. And now, bad news, everyone. I cut out the part that I'm guaranteed supposed to read. So here we go. Our main offer is a 4 gigabyte monthly plan at $15 a month. And they also have plans at $10 a month and a $30 a month plan with unlimited data. And of course, all their stuff is riding through the T-Mobile network, which is really dope. So let me get the line for you here. Here we go. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/backliners. That's mintmobile.com/backliners. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/backliners. And again, Ryan Reynolds likes me and I like him, and he'll like you if you get Mint Mobile.
Not me.
Mintmobile.com/backliners.
Yeah, Aurora, that's right. There it is. That's what we needed. Thank you, Aurora. That final push. All right, so with talking about playoffs one last time, I kind of wanted to think about like some surprises, both good and bad, that we saw. For me, I'll kick it off to give you guys a good idea of what I'm thinking about with this segment. I was surprised at how well Kepri did. I was not surprised at how well Ardeo did. I thought that god was nuts. And that was correct. I was a little surprised at the lack of Morgan Le Fay. I expected to see a little bit more of her. And I was surprised at how badly Osiris did. I thought that god was definitely a little bit better. So those are mine. Bera, how about you go next?
I was kind of confused as to the meta, you know, the whole time.
I'm surprised that Hell was that broken. I knew she was good. I didn't think she was that good.
Picks and bans felt pretty complicated right now. It's like, it feels like there's so many picks that you can't give the other team, because if they do pop off, then you just kind of lose. And I thought it was a little weird how much Tiamat was let through, but teams were banning them like consistently in scrims, but then decided like game day it was like time to let Tiamat through.
Yep.
And some teams like the Viathans like to continually ban Artemis, and other teams didn't ban Artemis. I think it was just like which team could capitalize most based on the map, based off of their comp. And I think Titans did that obviously by far the best. And I think other teams were way behind the curve for what to do and how to counter certain picks. I think we were definitely one of the teams that were pretty far behind the curve, or just like couldn't find a grasp. Hell metas are lame. RDO metas are lame. Kepri metas are lame. That's my opinion.
There you go. All right, Aurora, you're up.
I was surprised that more teams didn't play Kepri, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised by the RDO either, because RDO's RDO.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bear claw.
Bear chop claw.
Bear chop. Yep.
I don't know. I'm also surprised. I guess, like Bear was saying, like people didn't really leap stuff up in scrims that often. So I guess that's surprising that they did this event. But that's like only insight that we would have, though. So it's like kind of weird to say. But yeah.
Thank you. I thought it was weird because a lot of teams had like pretty good counters to Tiamat, or I thought they were pretty good counters. Then Tiamat would still do good, and then like when we played Tiamat in like the Hell Erlong, we did absolutely nothing with it. which was just like, I just felt like we were just behind the curve on like a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously Paul played super well, but I don't think that a lot of the stuff I was seeing him do was Tiamat specific.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tiamat the best mage in competitive right now? Yeah. Is she like?
Yeah, honestly, by I don't far even the know if best? I would say that.
Well, I think Hell is the best mage. Hell is the best mage right now.
You can make an argument for either one, I feel like, and be right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Tiamat didn't blow me away. Paul played really well. But mm-hmm. I wasn't like, holy God, that God is so broken. Really. I was surprised at how much teams valued Kabrakan. He obviously played like fine. But I didn't really feel like he was that oppressive at any given time. Mm-hmm. Aurora, you guys were like the Kabrakan ban mains. You guys were like slam banning it against the Dragons in the first set. Do you feel like Kabrakan was as good as advertised?
Kabrakan's OP. I want to play him.
How does Cyclone feel about that?
Yeah, he likes that.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. Phase three.
The another classic was Old Loki, Kabrakan, Duelin.
Yeah. Yep.
That we never got to whip out at Worlds in Season 5 that we were going to, but we just never got a chance to do it.
Feel like you
decoy the wave, and then you tremor both of them at the same time, and you don't take damage from the wave because it's decoyed. It was sick.
That's OP. Wow. Dara, there you go. Why weren't you on that, man?
I'm just buying the curve, man.
Yeah. Clearly, that's the theme of the episode. All right, random question of the week. I can't remember if we've done this one, so maybe chat can let me know. But right before this episode, my wife and I ordered some Chinese food, which is always a staple around here. And I don't know, have we done our like favorite Chinese food orders on the show? I feel like we haven't.
Probably. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, we definitely haven't. This is brand new. Oh.
Okay. Wait, everyone's saying yes and 100%. Okay, well, now I got nothing. Well, mine's changed, okay?
Really?
Mine's changed. Yeah, I changed mine up. I used to be a sesame chicken guy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a sweet and sour chicken guy. I've been on a sweet and sour chicken kick recently. And my wife has changed as well. She's now a lo mein fan out of nowhere. She's changed, man.
Dude, Destiny loves lo mein. I'm still a General Tso's anything guy. Oh, I mean, General Tso's tofu now for me.
Okay.
I mean, that flavor is just unbeatable. I don't know if I have like a secondary that I would even put up there.
How about sushi? I haven't done that because I haven't done that because I just started eating sushi recently.
I hate sushi, so.
Okay.
What? That's my answer. I hate sushi. I've never liked it.
I like sushi.
All right, Aurora, what's your favorite Chinese food and or sushi order?
I'm vegetarian now, so I don't eat meat anymore, but it would still be the same for like Chinese food. It'd probably be like either like steamed dumplings or like pot stickers, but just with veggie filling. I love dumplings.
Yep, dumplings are great.
And then Mike's been asking me what ice cream flavor I like, so I have to answer him.
Yeah,
or what
to.
I got tonight.
Yep.
I got Kilwin's Tracks. Mm. I asked them, I said, what peanut butter flavor ice creams do you have? That's what I do at every ice cream place I ever go to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say chocolate peanut butter, and then they're like, oh, we have this one called Kilwin's Tracks. I'm like, okay. And they're like, it has peanut butter cups in it. I'm like, okay, cool, I'll get that one. And I ate it, and it was good, and I don't know what else was in it, but it tasted really good, and there was peanut butter cups in there, so it was a good time all around.
So we're liking that. What can you compare and contrast? This is really only for me and anyone else who lives in this area. I think Andy's is the best treat place maybe on the planet. Andy's frozen custard is absolutely insane.
Good.
Do you agree that it's the best?
The thing is with me, like, as long as the... There's bad ice cream, and that's just bad. And then every other ice cream, it's just different, and it's whatever you're in the mood for. And they all can be really good as long as it's not bad, in my opinion. It's just like Andy's is really good, yeah. But you can go, like, I don't know, Four Fat Cows is good too. Dairy Queen can sometimes be good, even though that's like everywhere. I don't know. They're all good as long as it's not bad. It can be good. And Andy's is really good, But other places are good too, and that's all I could say about that.
There you go. I respect
just
that.
Laughing at Paul getting dishes out. Yeah,
Paul's just doing chores, bro. That's a lesson for all you youngins out there. Even when you're a champion, even when you're a 2-time back-to-back champ, and then a Phase 2 playoff champion, you still got to do your chores. You know, that's the lesson for everyone out there. All right, thanks for everyone for listening to Roar. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope we're all. Are you guys ready for our jungler overlords to be back for next week?
Oh God.
With all the jungle buffs,
they did the best. They said, "Give me item buffs," and they got them.
and they got them.
Everything, bro. They literally got it's just down the list, like jungle buff.
If you talk to Zap, it's tank meta, baby. Let's get ready for the tank meta, guys. I'm just kidding, though. I don't think it's
no tank meta, but jungler overlords are coming back to ruin all of our fun for sure. Yep. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Thanks everyone for watching again. Our two sponsors, thanks. Huge shout outs to them for this episode. Manscaped, you can get 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com/back. And our brand new one, Mint Mobile, you can get Mint Mobile mobile service for just $15 a month. They'll ship it right to your door. Mintmobile.com/back is the place to go there.
Liners, I think.
Is it? Oh, let me
I thought it was
there.
Backliners. Did you say that?
Yeah, mintmobile.com.
You're right. It says backliners. Yeah, you're right. Bera and Aurora got my back. Thank you so much. You guys.
You're welcome, baby.
You guys are the best. Aurora, congrats on the victory. Excited to see what Phase 3 is going to bring. I have no idea what our plan is for next week's episode, Bera, because we got like an off week for SPL. It's a wild card episode. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
You guys should do an AMA and then have people submit questions like what your favorite dance moves are, and then you guys can show them off.
Oh, that could be good. We've done a couple AMAs in the past, and we like that. Bear, what's your favorite dance move?
I don't dance.
You just went to a wedding and you didn't dance at all?
Nope, I hate weddings.
Okay, well there you go. Fair enough. We have learned.
Oh my God.
We have learned. My favorite dance move? Gonna have to ask me at the potential AMA episode next week. Make sure you're checking out Prediction and all that kind of stuff. They got a bunch of different shows, over a bunch of different networks. And give us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you are listening to us. Thanks so much. We'll see you guys next week. Until then, Bera, you know what to do.
Bye.